You know, with all the, yeah, go ahead. With all of the craziness of the sound system, and even us today getting some chords mixed up, you know, you know, you can, you, well, I'll get to it in just a minute. I'm going to say another thing that can be discouraging. Two elderly women were eating breakfast in a restaurant one morning. Ethel noticed something funny about Mabel's ear. She said, "Mabel, do you know you got a suppository in your left ear?" Mabel answered, "I have a suppository." She pulled it out and stared at it. Then she said, "Ethel, I'm glad you saw this thing. Now I know where my hearing aid is." glory! All right. With all that stuff we had happening this morning with the sound system, because that thing has a mind of its own sometime. Pretty soon we're going to be getting rid of all that. We got a new system coming. It'll be here. Part of it's already here. Amen. Glory to the Lamb of God. Starting in a week or two, yeah, this screen's going to be gone. There's going to be two 85-inch TVs up here and an 85-inch TV in the back. And there's going to be a brand new system, and it's going to be black floor, and it's going to be television cameras. Yeah, and the sound system is going to be way down low. So coming up in a couple of weeks, you're not going to recognize it. And hopefully, the sound's going to be great. We'll be having ear monitors so we can hear what's going on. And so thank God for a generous donor had it in his heart to help this place jump the broom, so to speak, to get on up to the next level. And we're getting there. So that's going to be awesome. And I just thank God for being God. Amen. God is awesome. Amen. So, but all this stuff that happened today, if you're not careful, you'll focus on the wrong instead of the right. I'm so glad this wasn't a mistake. The Holy Spirit this morning, the mighty army this morning was, let's see here. Let's get the right one. Is mighty army, the enemy wants you focused on what you lost. God wants you focused on what he's building. Wow. Okay. We had some glitches, but we kept on going. But how many people in your own life has had some glitches? How many people in your own life have had some discouragement, not only with your spouse or your children or your work? Sometimes you're discouraged, and go ahead, get ready. Some of y'all are discouraged with God. Wow. They got quiet in here now. Can you imagine the crucifixion? And can you imagine watching Jesus bleed and die, tore to shreds, believing he was going to tear down the Roman kingdom and set up his own kingdom, and instead, it seemed that Rome had the upper hand. So we're going to get down to where you live today. All right, we're going to study something just a little bit different, probably different than you've ever studied it before. But we're going to talk about the road to Emmaus. Now, the road to Emmaus, you got to understand something about the road to Emmaus. So we're going to really take it in deep, and it's a two-parter because it's impossible to do all this in one sermon. So it's a two-parter. This is part one, but I promise you that this part right here by itself is a standalone sermon. Then part two comes in next week. So y'all get out your Bibles, and turn to Luke 24. Luke 24. Stand for the reading of the word. Luke 24. I don't have it found in my Bible, so we can all find it at the same time. Got your Bible? Say amen. You don't say on me? Luke 24, and behold, two of them went that same day. Now, look, this is the third day. This is resurrection morning. This is the day that Jesus has come out of the grave. But guess what? Not everybody knew it yet. Not everybody understood the power of the resurrection. Not everybody knew that Jesus was getting ready to appear to many, many people and show himself alive by many, many proofs. Not everybody knew that yet. Mary knew that, and some of the disciples were learning that, but some people still, because they didn't have cell phones, this day and time, you just took a picture and you just put it on Instagram. I can see some people standing in front of the empty tomb and going, that ain't happening now. All they got in their mind is a bunch of dead promises. Some of y'all in here right now, you're holding on to some promises that you're beginning to wonder if one day they might just be dead. Turn off here. Here we go. All right. Luke 24, 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus. Y'all say Emmaus. Which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. 7 miles from Jerusalem. They're getting out of town. And they talked together about these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And but their eyes were holding that they should not know him. Meaning God held their eyes. They were blind to what was going on. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have once said one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering and said unto them, art thou now only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast thou not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in word, indeed, before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And we trusted that it had been he which should redeem Israel. Besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And yea, certain women also are accompanied, made us astonished when they early at the sepulchre, and when they found not the body, they came saying that also they had seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them up with him went also to the sepulchre and found it even as so the women had said, but him they saw not. Then Jesus said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Ought not Christ have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, that you are alive and well and on the throne. And we know, God, that there's nothing impossible for you, Lord. There's people in here right now, Lord, that are discouraged. They're discouraged because the God-given dream within their minds have become, in their hearts, have become a nightmare. Or some of the promises they're holding on to have seemed to collapse. And they find themselves disappointed with themselves, with others, with the promises, and even with you, God. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch, to anoint, to help us, God, to see, to know, to understand, and to trust you on this first Sunday after Easter. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Look at somebody and tell them the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Give the Lord a hand clap on your way down. We're going to look at the Emmaus Road in a totally, totally different way today. And I hope that it brings you hope in the discouraging things that you have in your life right now. Amen? So let's just look at here. Here it is. Emmaus, the broken road. When Jesus walks into your disappointment. Wow. That's a powerful, powerful, powerful thought. You see, the Emmaus Road. The Emmaus Road was a walk that nobody wanted to take. But it's one of the most honest and heartbreaking moments in the resurrection story. If you just look at it face value, it just seems the two guys are walking, they're discouraged, and God's going to take care of business. But if you dig deep, and you be honest. Some of y'all in here right now, your heart's breaking. Some of you in here right now, the discouragement has taken hold. Some of you in here right now are wondering, oh, you've heard about what Jesus is going to do, but you're wondering if he can do it for you. Let's look at these disciples. These guys are walking out in that dusty road. Watch, not toward Jerusalem. They're walking away from Jerusalem. Not toward the upper room, not toward revival, but away. There's people that were in these seats for many, many years that are not here today, not because they're in another church, not because they moved away, but because of discouragement and disappointment and heartbreak, they walked away. Wow. You see, they walked away from hope, and they walked away from expectation, and they walked away from everything they believed God was doing, because they saw with their own eyes Jesus whooped, beat, crucified, dead, brought down off that cross, put in a tomb. They saw it, and now all they have is hearsay that he's not in the tomb. And people say the tomb is empty, but yet Jesus hasn't appeared to many of them. Some of y'all in here right now, you're so discouraged. And you got a lot of hearsay to go by, but it hadn't touched you yet. And you're wondering, God, where are you at? Why have you not heard me? Why have you not done what I have prayed so hard about? You see, I've done it with those disciples walking toward Emmaus. See, disappointment. Another way of defining disappointment is to say that it's undoing of an appointment. Wow. Disappointment comes as a result of the breakdown or the undoing of our appointed plans, hopes and dreams, goals and ambitions in life. See, they're walking toward the village Emmaus, but I'm going to tell you something. Watch this. Watch carefully. Emmaus is not just a place. Emmaus is a direction. So although we're not there, although we're not around Jerusalem, some of y'all in here right now are walking that road to Emmaus, away. Discouraged, wondering, why is it turning out like it is? Why did it have to be this way, God? I hear that all the time. I've been preaching funerals for 40 years. I preached a funeral this week in Virginia. Last week I preached one in Shakopee, and I'm here to tell you, everybody asked me the same thing, and I cannot answer them. Why? Why does it have to happen this way? This is not what our plans were. You see, disappointment can redirect your feet. It can harm relationships. It can change your direction. It can change what you do on a weekly basis. Matter of fact, here's the challenge. I just want you to think about this. What direction has disappointment pushed you? Not just led you, pushed you. Think about that for a minute. Matter of fact, you don't have to think about it for a minute because you already know without me having to say a word. You see, look at this. Numbing the pain for a while will make it worse when you finally feel it. Think about that. The heroin unit's full of guys that tried to numb the pain. In the last week, I've talked to a handful of people, just randomly talked to them. God knew what it was. He put it in my path. Randomly talked to people that talked about the pain that they had experienced in the years gone by and the numbing that they do now, but it doesn't work because they have to keep on and on and on because the pain keeps coming back. You see, what Emmaus really means in the Greek, Emmaus means hot springs. Well, that's cool. Emmaus is a place of comfort, a place of soothing, a place of escape. But let's get real. Ready? Emmaus is a place where you go to numb the pain, not heal it. Wow. You see, everybody has an Emmaus, a place you run to when life breaks you. Of course, it's 7 miles. Let's go ahead. Ready? Let me stop right here. What hot spring have you been escaping to numb your pain? The guys in the heroin, you know, to tell me, well, I started out smoking. And then I started shooting up and pills. And you see where I'm at now. I'm the only one out of 5 that made it here, the other 4 in a grave. Because they tried to numb their pain. And in their effort to numb their pain, they took their life and didn't even know it. So I watch them shoot up. And immediately they die and never know what hit them. There's other people walking around here. And you find other things to numb your pain. You know, shopping numbs your pain. It's crazy. Any kind of thing like this that gets you caught up into addictive behaviors. It can be shopping. It can be whatever you want to do. Just something you do that you got to go to numb the pain. But it doesn't numb the pain, but instead it covers it up for just a little while. You see, let's go a little bit deeper here. The distance. This is crazy. The distance of disappointment. Emmaus was 7 miles from Jerusalem. What's 7? God's number. It's the God of what? Watch this. 7 is the number of completion. It's a number of fullness. It's a number of divine perfection. The Bible says a good man will fall 7 times, but God will lift him back up, meaning you can fall into total devastation, and God will be there. You see, they walk the full measure of their disappointment. They walk the complete cycle of their grief. You know, some of y'all in here have walked that full 7 miles away from hope. Where did you walk that 7 miles away from hope? Hoping that everything will be okay in your marriage, in your calling, in your dream, in your prayer, in your promise, the season, a relationship, a ministry, a version of yourself. I promise you, discouragement will take you farther than you meant to go. 7 is complete. Meaning you just went and it never stopped. Where have you walked into comfort and found none? But I'm here today to tell you, Jesus is willing to walk that 7 miles to bring you back, to bring you comfort. to remove that disappointment. Emmaus is where you go when your faith feels bruised. When your hope dies right in your hands. When your heart is so broken. You see, let's go to the application here. You cannot walk far enough in disappointment for Jesus not to meet you. But here's my question. How far have you walked? Emotionally. Spiritually. Mentally. Because as you're searching for a solution to numbing the pain, you're also looking for a solution to remove you from what is harming you. A complete journey of disillusionment, distance of emotional collapse. But Jesus met them at the end of those 7 miles. The Bible says, Jesus himself drew near and he walked with them. Watch this. He didn't wait for them to get together. He didn't wait for them to return to Jerusalem. He didn't wait for them to say the right prayer. He walked right smack. That's one of them southern sayings. He walked right smack into the middle of their disappointment. You may not can feel him today, but I promise you, he's right there beside you, right in the middle of your disappointment. And get ready, because he's getting ready to show you himself in a very, very, very powerful way. I love this. God is a silent partner in all great enterprises. That was said by Abraham Lincoln. Jesus walks with you even when you can't see. And the Bible says their eyes were kept to recognize them. What it meant was that God blinded them to Jesus. He allowed their eyes to be closed. You see, they were walking with Jesus. They were talking with Jesus. They were pouring out their pain to Jesus. And they didn't even know that it was him. I remember one time in a church service in Benson, there was a guy in my church really, really, really going through a hard time. He was really struggling. I'm preaching, and I notice, I'm not kidding, an old man with long white hair and a long beard walked in blue jeans, and sat in the back of the church. I'd never seen him before. When I got through preaching, we had an altar call. And that guy that was so heartbroken, who was struggling even to get up in the morning because of so much struggle in his life, that white-headed man got up and he walked around real slow. And out of all the people in the altar, he walked right to that man. And he put his hands on his shoulders, and then one on his head. And my friend picked up his hands and started raising his hands. I looked over and saw that going on. I walked over to pray with somebody. I turned around, and that man was gone. I asked somebody, did you see where that man went? Some people even said, what man? I said, the man with the long white hair. And the guy that was raising his hands said, I felt a hand on my head, and I turned around, and I saw that white, long white hair. He said, but I closed my eyes because God was doing something. He said, and then when he stopped praying for me, I turned around to thank him, and he was gone. I believe with all my heart there was a theophany where God shows up, makes his presence known, and does what he wants to do and leaves. But it changed. That changed mine too when I saw it. I was watching it take place. Touched my friend in such a powerful way. You see, this divine presence, I didn't realize. I just wanted to preach to you just a little bit today. on this. I want you to get this in your spirit. Really, really, really get this in your spirit today. I know it's in a shouting message, but I sure hope that it's reaching inside your heart, your spirit, and it's performing surgery, a much-needed surgery, because some of y'all have been carrying it too long, and you've been trying to numb it up or just say it's not there, and it is there. Your ability to feel God does not equal His absence. Just because you can't feel Him does not mean He's not there. Just like that man that walked in the back of the church that some didn't even see and come up and pray with this guy and some never even saw it. I saw it. The man that was being prayed for saw it. But then he just vanished. That was God. I believe with all my heart. Nobody could ever change my mind. Now, remember, the resurrection of Jesus changes everything. When you can't feel God, just say that. Really, look, say, sometimes I can't feel Him. Say it. Be honest. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. But sometimes I can't feel Him. Amen? All right. This almost sounded like my wife was looking over and said, it's kind of like you're repeating yourself. And I thought, well, yeah, it does look like it. But then I thought about some of the hard heads I know. Need it repeated. Even when you can't feel Him, I'm one of the hard heads. Peter was a hard head. Jesus had to keep talking to him two or three times. He had to talk to the disciples. He repeated himself twice. Every time Jesus was repeating himself, he was trying to emphasize, let me get this through your head, what I said. All right. When you can't feel God, when you can't feel Him, He is still walking. He is still listening. He is still near. Here's the challenge. You ain't got an answer to this. Where have you assumed that God has abandoned you? Sometimes it may not be in your whole life. It may be in certain areas. It may be in a certain relationship, whatever. And you feel like God has abandoned you. And so my question is, I want you to think about it today. Where do you feel God has abandoned you? You see, how do you know this? What are you talking about? Some of you have been in seasons where your worship feels dry, where your prayer feels empty, where your emotions feel numb, and your faith seems very, very thin. But let me give you a little promise and break a little secret to you. Jesus has been walking beside you the whole time. God is the closest to you when you feel Him the least. Just like my buddy, who we just couldn't seem to reach him. He was so hurt. But that man God sent in, pray for him and vanished. You can't convince me otherwise. God came in and took care of business Himself. And it was so, so awesome. You see, look at this. The pain is necessary. Sometimes pain is the teacher we require, a hidden gift of healing and hope. Jesus comes up to him on the road, and he says, what are you discussing as you walk along? You see, Jesus wants you to tell him the truth about your pain. I'm doing good, Lord. I'm doing good. That's like me limping and going, yeah, my leg feels better than it's ever felt. Really? Feels like there is that watermelon in this leg. But you know what? I'm not going to tell God this feeling. I'm telling it hurts. You got to help it, God. Some of you on here right now, you got pains that you're trying to beat down, hold down. You're ashamed to bring it to God. You think it's too small for God to handle. Or you think it's too big for God to handle. And God says, quit walking around feeling dry, feeling empty, feeling numb. Let me help. But you got to acknowledge. That's what prayer is. God already knows what's going on in your life. But He wants you through prayer to acknowledge Him and acknowledge what you're going through. He already knows. But He wants you to say it. They read one of the saddest phrases in Scripture. We had hoped. As a counselor, I hear that hundreds of times a week. We had hoped. We thought God was going to do this, this, and this. We hoped that God was going to do it this way. You see, the word for hope in the Greek is to expect with confidence. But guess what? I'm going to show you something about their confidence. Ready? First, being confident, he began a good work. He's going to carry it to completion. You got to know he's going to do it. But these disciples are at a place that maybe, just maybe, some of y'all are at. Get ready. Their confidence died. Wow. He said, we hoped that he would have redeemed Israel. We hoped that things would have turned out differently. We hoped that God would come through. We hoped that the story would end another way. Everybody in here has got one of those stories. We hoped that God would have redeemed this problem. We hoped that things would have turned out differently. We hoped that God would have come through. We hoped that the story would end another way. Last week was Bethany's birthday. She spent another year, another birthday in heaven with God. She's rejoicing. And I hear people say, well, she's in a better place. Well, you know, the truth of the matter is, yes, she is. But another truth of the matter is, we are not. Next time you tell somebody they're in a better place, you might as well look at them and say, but you are not. To be truthful about the whole thing. So, think about your own life and think about these stories and where you pack them down inside and keep pushing them down and pushing them down and pushing them down, hoping that God would have done something, but he didn't. And now you're carrying this around with you. And for lack of better terms, you're all blubbed up with hurt. But you just walk around in denial and wonder why you feel so bad. Let me ask you a question. Ready? What is your I had hoped? What is it? I'll help you out a little bit. I hope that the marriage would survive. I hope that the diagnosis would have changed. I hope that the addiction would have broke. I hope that the depression would have lifted. I hope that God would answer sooner than he has. How many in here? What's your I had hoped? What is it? Don't tell me. Tell God. You see, Jesus is not intimidated by your disappointment. He invites it. Let me ask you a question. What dream have you buried without hope, without healing, without fruition? What expectation died in your hands? Wow. You see, Jesus listens before he corrects. Notice this. And some of us couldn't ever do this. Jesus don't interrupt them. I mean, here can some of y'all listen to people without interrupting them every 5 seconds. You know what it shows a person when you keep interrupting them? That you really don't care. All you want to do is get your story out. You don't want to care about theirs. I promise you, try this week, this whole week. Try to listen to 80% and talk 20%. Some of y'all may explode by next week, but try it. All right, ready? Notice this. Jesus don't interrupt them. He doesn't rebuke them. He doesn't shame them. He just listens. Wow. He lets them pour out their confusion, pour out their grief, pour out their shattered expectations. Y'all ready for a big revelation? This was an ouchie for me. Jesus is a better listener than we are a talker. You remember telling the story about the man walking through by his little boy's room, and little boy's got building blocks with all those letters on them, and he's throwing up A, and he hits the ground. D, and he hits the ground. R, and he hits the ground. And he says, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm praying." He says, "You're praying. You're throwing up building blocks, one letter at a time, and they're coming back down." And he said, "Daddy," he said, "I'm praying." He says, "I don't even know what to pray for, so I'm just throwing the letters up and let God put them words together." The Holy Spirit comes in your life sometimes when you don't know what to say. And that groaning that you got going on is the Holy Spirit ministering through you and to you and for you to God. Amen. I'm getting ready to close. Let's see. I only got 12 more pages. Hold on. No, I'm kidding. Some of y'all got even more disappointed then. Really? Jesus walks into the places you walk away from. Wow. They walked away from Jerusalem, the place of prophecy, the place of promise, the place of resurrection. But Jesus walked toward them. Remember, they're going 7 miles away because they couldn't stand what they were hearing or what they were feeling. And what it made them, the promises they felt were broken by God, promises, the disappointment. They were thinking he'd be up on a throne by now. And the Roman army would be put down, not crucifying him. You see, they just wanted to get away from it. The problem is, you want to get away from it, but you can't because the voices are not out there. The voices are in here, and you can't run from it. No matter where you go, no matter how far you go, the problem is, wherever you go, there you are. Disappointment will take you farther than you meant to go. Jesus meets you on a road that you never wanted to walk on. He meets you in disappointment that you didn't choose. He meets you in a heartbreak you didn't expect. He meets you at times when you think that he wouldn't even be with you. You may be in some place trying to numb your pain, and Jesus come in there with you and sit right by you on the bar stool. You see, we're going to talk a minute. Let's just talk. I'm going to do some how-tos, and then we're getting ready to close down, all right? How to walk with Jesus in disappointment. Here's what this story teaches us. Ready? Get ready. First, bring him your disappointment. Try telling him the truth. Stop pretending you're okay. I'm okay. How many times this week have you told somebody, "I'm okay"? And you know that you are farthest as you can be from being okay. But you said, "I'm okay." We tell it so many times, that's our response. "I'm okay." But inside, your okay is actually leading to decay. You tell God the same thing. Bring him your disappointment. Tell him what's going on. Stop pretending you're okay. Let him walk with you in the dark places. Remember, D.C. and Daniel were little, and they would be walking in the dark, and they'd go, "Daddy, I don't walk in there. I'm scared. And I'd be in there walking with them. And I was trying to get to them. And they're going, "Daddy, where you at? Daddy, I don't want to be here." And I put my arm around and say, I'm right here, buddy. I'm right here. Then they go and we walk through. But they didn't know that I'd been there with them trying to get to them. They couldn't see me trying to get to them. They had to feel me and hear me to know I was there. But I was still there. You see, I'm going to give you a very challenging thing to pray today. Let God hear, I had hoped. Let him hear your I had hoped. Let him hear what you thought he was going to step in and do. And let me ask you a question. Here's a challenge. What would healing require you to confront? Which of these steps I just gave you is the hardest right now? We're getting ready to confront some of this stuff. Next week is going to be the rest of this story. I want to stop it right here. I got a little bit more to go, but DC, come on up and get replaced up. But we're going to get involved. Everybody's going to get involved right now. I want everybody to stand up and close your eyes and bow your head. I want you to say this one sentence and you just keep standing for a minute. Jesus, go ahead. Jesus, walk with me in my disappointment. If you're tired, if you're confused, if you're disappointed, if you've been walking away from hope, this altar is for you. Right now, the altars are going to start opening. I want you to come on up here. You can either kneel or stand. I want everybody that will to come to these altars. And I want you to come with the I had hoped in your hand. I had hoped. Come with your confusion. Come with your disappointment. Jesus, at this moment, is walking towards you. All that will come to the altar. All that will come to this altar and bring your I had hoped with you. You can kneel, you can stand. Everybody look at me for a moment. Look at me for a moment. I want y'all to say this with me. And then we're going to go back to praying for a moment. Lord, raise what I cannot raise. Heal what I cannot heal. Restore what I cannot restore. Because you live, I live also. Go back to praying. It's okay. Go back to praying. Bring him your I had hoped. Bring him, I had hoped, God. I thought it was going to be different. I gave you all I had, God. I did all I could, God. I gave you my had hoped. This is what I was believing for, what I was hoping for. And God, I don't understand why it turned out the way it did. I don't understand what happened. I don't understand how it hit me like this. I don't understand what your new direction in my life is. I don't understand why things have turned out this way. Because I had hoped a whole different situation. I had hoped, God, that you would do something so different. I thank you, God. You are powerful. You are mighty. You are God. But I'm bringing you my disappointment. I'm bringing you my pain. And if you help me, God, I'll quit walking in the wrong direction. I'll walk back to you in a very powerful way. This day, things are going to change in my life. And I thank you for it. Things are going to change. Lord, raise what I cannot raise, heal what I cannot heal, restore what I cannot restore. Because you live, I can live. Restore the joy. Restore the joy. Restore the hope. Restore the faith. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. There's nothing you cannot do. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory, glory, glory to the Lamb of God. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, God. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. I meant to say this today in prayer request. Stephen Modlin has been in the hospital the last few days. His leg has been messing up, and he's going to need home help to come in and help him. He can't walk at the moment like he should. Let's all pray for Stephen Modlin and for his leg, and we thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. Father, touch Stephen in a very powerful way. Let him feel your anointing. Father, we know, God, that you got this, 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 that you got this. Heal him and let him feel your power and let him feel your anointing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. 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 Let's see, there was somebody else that we need to pray for. I'm trying to get all my ducks in a row here. Let's see here. Juanita. Remember Johnny and Juanita. Juanita had a heart procedure this week. Please remember Juanita. She's doing good, but still, when you do something around your heart, that's why she's not here today. You want God, you want to make sure you pray for God to do something special for her. Okay. Mind me anyway. Not as bad as you are.
Oh, that's not good. No.
Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you for my brother. I ask you to touch him right now, Lord. And Father, as he goes to this procedure Thursday, Lord, that you're there with him, that you show up in a very powerful way. And Lord, we thank you, God, that you're going to take care of him. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And Wyatt. Okay. Wyatt. Like an allergy or something? Okay, remember Wyatt too. Wyatt got in some poison and his face is swelled up. Father, we thank you for Wyatt right now. Touch him, heal his body, make him every bit whole. I know that can be miserable. I ask you right now, Lord, to bless him abundantly. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 All right.
One more.
Feeling dizzy? Come here.